Title: Distorted Noise Swells for Darkcore Moods Advanced. Alright, welcome back. In this lesson we're building one of the fastest tension weapons in Darkcore drum and bass, distorted noise swells that feel like pressure building in a tunnel, not just a generic white noise riser either. We're going for that 90s jungle and Darkcore mood, but with modern control, so it growls and moves without swallowing your kick, snare, or sub. By the end, you'll have a noise swell effects rack you can drop into any project, with a few performance macros that let you go from barely there dread to full distorted storm, and still keep the mix disciplined. Let's set the scene first. Put your session around 170 to 175 BPM. Decide where the swell lives. An intro swell might be 8 bars, pre-drop is usually 1 or 2 bars, and between phrase swells can be as short as half a bar. That choice matters, because it changes your envelope times and how aggressive your filter move needs to be. Now, step 1. The noise source. You've got 3 good options, and I'll give you a best default. Best default is upper ear, because it's stable, predictable, and takes distortion beautifully. Make a MIDI track, load operator, and set oscillator at a noise. Then shape the amp envelope. For a typical 2 bar swell, try an attack around, say, 400 milliseconds up to 1.5 seconds depending on how slow you want it to bloom. Set decay a couple seconds, sustain basically off, and a release somewhere between 300 milliseconds and a second so it doesn't click off. Second option is wavy-dable if you want a more modern, animated texture. Pick something with noise content, blend in the noise oscillator if you've got it, and add a little unison 2 to 4 voices, low amount. The point here is not supersaw, it's slight stereo spread and micro instability. Third option is sample-based, which is the most authentic if you want that real jungle grit. Drag in vinyl hiss, room tone, a field recording, whatever, warbit, loop a stable section. Complex works for smooth, beats works if you want grainy artifacts. Pro move, layer 2 sources, a clean noise from operator for consistency, plus a crusty sample layer for personality. That's how you avoid the EDM noise wash problem later. Before we start mangling anything, quick advanced habit, gain staging. Drop a utility right before your first distortion stage and trim the noise so it's comfortably audible, but not slamming. Think roughly minus 18 to minus 12 dBFS RMS-ish. The exact number isn't holy. The goal is that every distortion stage is a tone decision, not a loudness trick. After each distortion device, level match the output so when you toggle devices on and off, you're comparing character, not volume. Okay, step 2, the filter sweep. This is where the rise illusion really happens. Add auto filter right after the source. Start with a low pass 24 dB slope. Set the cutoff down around 200 to 600 Hz so it starts dark and muffled. Resonance around 20 to 40% moderate. Too much resonance and it becomes a sci-fi laser instead of ominous pressure. Add a little drive, 2 to 6 dB, just to thicken the filtered tone. Now automate the cutoff rising over the length of the swell. For a 2-bar pre-drop example, you might go from 300 Hz up to somewhere between 8 and 14 kHz. Don't feel like you must hit 20k. In Darkcore, stopping a little short can actually feel heavier, because it stays mid-forward and threatening. Here's where it becomes advanced instead of basic riser. Add the LFO device and map it to the auto filter cutoff. Set it synced at 1/8 or 1/4, wave to sine or smooth random, and keep the amount tiny 5 to 15%. This gives you that uneasy, living motion. You want it to feel like air shifting in a duct, not like a wobble bass. Step 3, distortion in stages. Darkcore lives in layered aggression. One extreme distortion often turns into fizzy fatigue. Multiple subtle stages gives you density, control, and a more expensive sound. A solid stock chain is saturator first, then roar, then overdrive. On saturator, try analog clip. Drive around 3 to 8 dB, soft clip on, and again, output compensate. Think of this stage as body. It's not supposed to sound insane yet. If it already sounds like destruction, you started too hot, then roar as the main character. Pick a tubish style or something in that noise slash destroy territory. Don't max the drive. Start around 10 to 30%. Use roar's internal tone shaping to roll off harsh highs if it starts tearing your ears off. And consider running it partially wet like 50 to 80% so you keep some original texture underneath. Then overdrive for a focused bite. Set the frequency somewhere around 1.2 to 3 kHz, drive 10 to 25%, and tune the tone until it cuts without fizzing. This is the it speaks through the mix stage. At this point, you should have a swell that feels like it has a mid-range identity, not just air. If it's still reading like generic spray, do this. Introduce a resonant feature. You can bump auto-filter resonance slightly, or add a resonator device very subtly 5 to 15% wet and tune it to your track key or a fifth. Then distort. Distorting something with implied pitch is what makes it feel cinematic and intentional. Step 4. Protect the low end. This is non-negotiable in drum and bass. Noise swells love to eat subspace and make you wonder why the drop doesn't hit. Add EQ 8 after the distortion chain. High pass it. Start around 120 to 250 Hz with a steep slope. If your drop is sub-heavy, don't be scared to push it up toward 300 Hz. Remember the rule. The swell threatens the drop. The bass line owns the low end. If the swell is harsh, dip a bit around 3 to 6 kHz, maybe 2 to 5 dB with a medium Q. If it's fizzy, add a gentle high shelf down above 10 to 12 kHz. Also, consider split band thinking. A lot of darkcore swells are basically a mid-band instrument. A sweet spot is roughly 250 Hz to 6 kHz for pressure and grit. If you treat it like a mid-range actor, it stops fighting the sub and stops sounding like a wide-open noise generator. Step 5. Stereo width, but with discipline. Width is addictive, and it's also the fastest way to make your swell vanish in mono. Drop a utility. Turn bass mono on. Then bring width up to maybe 120 to 160%. Now add either chorus ensemble or hybrid reverb for a touch of space and smear. For chorus ensemble, keep it subtle. 10 to 25% amount, slow rate. For hybrid reverb, go small to medium size. Predelay 10 to 30 milliseconds, low cut around 200 to 400 Hz. High cut around 6 to 10 kHz and mix 5 to 20%. Teacher tip. Check mono early, not at the end. After you add chorus or widening, briefly set utility width to 0. If your swell gets thin or disappears, you're relying on phase tricks instead of a solid core. Pull back modulation, or create a dedicated mono core layer. Also experiment with reverb position. Reverb after distortion gives you smeared, evil space. Reverb before distortion can sound like a distorted room, more intense and claustrophobic. Both are valid. Pick what matches the section. Step 6. Sidechain ducking. This is how you make the swell feel glued to the groove instead of sitting on top like a blanket. Put a compressor at the end of the chain. Enable sidechain and feed it from your kick, or a ghost kick if your pattern is busy. Start at ratio 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Aim for 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction on each kick. Advanced trick, sidechain from the snare too, or instead. In darkcore, the backbeat is sacred. Even a small snare-triggered duck can stop the swell from masking that crack. Even more advanced, make the swell react to the track, not just time. Drop an envelope follower and map it to something like filter cutoff or roar drive with tiny amounts. For example, map it negatively to cutoff so, when the swell gets louder, it actually closes slightly. This creates a pressure clamp that feels controlled. Or map it slightly positively to roar drive so it gets nastier as it rises. Use smoothing so it doesn't jitter. Step 7. Turn it into a performance-ready rack. This is where you stop doing busy automation every time and start playing the swell like an instrument. Group your devices into an audio effect rack. Now map macros. Macro 1. Rise. Map it to utility gain. Auto filter cutoff and roar drive. One knob should take you from distant to in your face. Macro 2. Tone. Map to auto filter resonance and maybe a gentle EQ tilt, so you can steer it darker or more biting. Macro 3. Grit. Map to saturator drive and overdrive drive. Macro 4. Width. Map to utility width and chorus amount, or reverb width if you're using that. Macro 5. Duck. Map to compressor threshold so higher macro equals more ducking. As you map, do yourself a favor, set sensible ranges. You want the top of the macro to still be usable in a mix, not demo loud. This is the difference between a rack you actually use and a rack you admire once. Now arrangement. This matters as much as the sound design. Try a classic two-bar pre-drop swell. Start filtered and narrow, then open the cutoff and add movement, then near the very end bring it forward and dry. And here's a darkcore choreography that really works. Two bars out. Mostly filtered, narrow, controlled. Then add width and modulation as you approach. Last half bar, reduce reverb and width slightly, and increase mid distortion so it steps toward the listener. Last 16th to 8th note, either hard mute or snap the filter shut quickly for micro void. That tiny silence right before the drop is a cheat code. It makes the drop feel bigger without adding any loudness. You can also do call and response with your bass in rolling DNB. Keep the swell high passed so it's more like air pressure filling the gaps. Or in jungle, throw a half bar burst after snare fills, then slam back into the break. Let's cover common mistakes so you can self-correct fast. If your swell is eating the sub, high pass higher, don't negotiate with it. If the top end is fizzing and tiring, tame 6 to 12 kHz and back off overdrive tone or pre-filter the highs before distortion. White noise into distortion equals brittle spray unless you control it. If it's boring, add movement, subtle LFO on cutoff, tiny automation on width, or rhythmic tremolo. If it masks kick and snare, increase sidechain, or automate the swell downright on drum hits. If it collapses in mono, you're too wide or too facey, reduce chorus, keep a mono core, and check width early. Now, advanced variations, just to level this up. You can build a multiband swell rack with three chains, a low mid chain from about 150 to 500 Hz, saturated, but mostly mono, a mid chain from 500 Hz to 4 kHz where most distortion and movement lies, and an air chain from 4 to 12 kHz with controlled fizz and light widening, maybe gated tremolo for urgency. Use EQ8 at the start of each chain to isolate bands. This gives you darker, cleaner aggression because each band has a job. You can do a reverse pull swell, resample a normal swell, reverse it, add a short room reverb, then distort. It feels like suction into the drop instead of a ramp. You can add comb filter dread using corpus or a very subtle facer flanger before distortion. Keep the mix low, then drive it. That hollow metal duct vibe is instant darkcore. And you can do rhythmic stutter without chopping audio. Use a gate keyed by a 16th note click or ghost hat. And adjust hold so it machine guns into the drop. Quick practice assignment to lock this in. At 175 BPM, make three swells for one drop, an 8-bar long dread swell for the intro, slow cutoff automation, minimal distortion, wider reverb, a 2-bar pre-drop impact swell, aggressive distortion, stronger sidechain, and end with a tiny silence. A 1/2-bar micro swell between drop phrases, high pass it harder, add rhythmic tremolo with auto pan at phase 0, minimal reverb. This audio version is shortened for playback.